This episode of The Nate Darling Show is radio-friendly. All the funny, none of the cursing. The world is a big, stupid place.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
And they're here to make fun of it. This is The Nate Darling Show. Now, here's Nate and the gang.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of The Nate Darling Show. It's the Wednesday radio-friendly version. The gang this week is Jason, Casey, as always.
What's up?
Kareem J. Daniels.
Nice to see you guys.
No relation to Yngwie J. Malmsteen.
Not at all.
I checked. And welcome back, original co-host of the show, Larry Mead. Hello, Larry.
My new name is Larry Glover Mead.
Oh, that's right. It is hyphenated.
It is. Mm-hmm.
We have a question about that, and we'll get to that in just a second.
I'm so excited.
We were talking about this last week. Coming up on the show today, Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis have some parenting tips for you.
Can't wait.
Is Ellen DeGeneres really a racist? And what does Seth Rogen really think about Katherine Heigl? And do we still care?
Nope.
Well, we'll get into all that in a bit.
Has anybody cared about Katherine Heigl since Grey's Anatomy?
Well, and I think that's part of what we'll talk about with that. So before we get into everything else, let's start with you, Jason. How was your week?
My week's been okay so far. I mean, it's crazy. Like, the changing of the job made my life so less stressful. So my life's been, pretty awesome lately. I'm really tired a lot. And I know that this is just going to keep happening. Like, it's
well, especially once the baby comes.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. So, anyhow. Yeah, but everything's going great. It was a great week.
Cool. Kareem, I know you've had some upheaval in your work life. Anything else going on?
I had fun Saturday over in Jason's neck of the woods.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You saw the video.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We were out jamming in the park at McClatchy Park.
Oh, I did not see that.
Yeah, so the most open mic in the city, hosted by ZFG, was going on in the park. So we had some music, some poetry.
Can you do anything?
Huh?
Can I come and twirl a baton?
Yeah, you could do anything.
Yes. That's how open the open mic is.
That's how open the open mic is.
I will go if you do that.
I have a life goal now.
Yeah. So they had probably about a 10 or 15 minute circle where drums kind of, they had like two people drumming, one on like a drum machine. And then they just had people rotating through singing, rapping, doing poetry, just whatever.
Nice.
So it was pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. I got out to the Roseville Rockland area. Got the
how first, bougie of you,
right? And I went to Bass Pro Shops.
Ooh, oh, not bougie yeah. of you.
By the way, if you have any sort of white elephant Christmas needs, Bass Pro Shops is a cornucopia of delights.
I don't think you need to use white when describing Bass Pro Shops. It's redundant.
Yeah.
Well. Look, maybe you need. I was impressed by their number of Old West style six shooters they had. I mean, legit guns.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I wouldn't mind one of those.
Yeah, I believe I sent you a picture of the hat that you're getting.
Yeah, I saw the hat. Oh my goodness. It was a daughter's first hunting trip.
Yes. Yeah, it's a little pink baseball cap with a deer with a rifle.
Yeah.
I should wear that when I go to open mic night in Oak Park.
Oh my God. They had some t-shirts there that were unbelievably wonderful. No Trump shirts. I was a little surprised. There was nothing political there. Unless you're talking about the Second Amendment. And then there was that.
Do they have a Dairy Queen inside Bass Pro Shops?
Sadly, no.
I heard that rumor once.
Sadly, no.
I think you just hear that everywhere you go.
I'm not going to lie. I kind of do. Dairy Queens are in weird places.
There's one on Fruit Ridge.
There is.
Yep. So
there's one in Arden.
Yep. Yep, 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 yep.
They outlasted the place that just closed.
Oh, the O'Farrell's?
Old-timey place.
O'Farrell's or Farrell's? Yeah. Whatever it was. I went there once. It was fine. So we did that, and we also, what else did we do? Oh, I was surprised. Leslie surprised me last night with a Fitbit.
Ooh.
I got home. She's like, hey, maybe I think you might need a Fitbit. And I said, well, that's a little more than I want to spend on myself right now. So, you know, maybe for Christmas or something. And then she handed it to me. So I was like, oh.
She loves you.
And then.
Or she wants to track you.
And then I woke her up at 6 o'clock this morning and we went on a nice long walk.
You put it on her.
It's like, oh. And we're going to go. We're going to get that done. And, so tonight, as the show drops on Wednesday, we have our very first in a series of dance lessons.
Oh, you guys did that?
That's great. Where are you going? It's a place here in West Sacramento. It's over in the industrial part of West Sacramento.
Ah, yes.
I'm sure you know. I forget the name of the place, but...
Because they know all the hot ballroom dancing places.
How many ballroom dancing places are there?
A fair number, surprisingly.
In West Sac, in the industrial section? We went for a free lesson a couple weeks ago, and it was a good time.
Are they Russian?
No. No. At least not the people we talked to, but it was a good time. So that is happening. But Larry, how have you been? It's been so long since you've been on the mic here. I believe you were in... a year ago, wow, when we did the 300th episodes.
Oh, 300.
Yeah, now we're at 432.
432?
That's a lot.
It is. It's a lot of content. All available at NateDarlingShow.com.
What's new?
I mean, you have a new job, but we don't have to talk about that here.
Yeah, I have a new job.
Which is exciting.
I am learning a lot. I work for the federal government, and I got a job that I'm not still exactly sure how I got. I'll own it. I think my boss was tired of working with cranky people and I was upbeat in an interview. So he hired me.
Nice.
Because clearly I don't have knowledge of, you know, water systems, but mm-hmm. whatever. I'm learning a lot about water in California and the West Coast.
You clearly shower and bathe regularly. So there's
that. It's true. What's new since the last show? Oh, we bought a house. We've been in there for a while. That's fun.
And how are your neighbors?
They're all great.
Awesome.
They're great. My neighborhood is very interesting.
Are you a gentrifier?
No. I live in Woodlake.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he had to explain where that was to me. And I'm like, oh, okay.
It is a very politically active little neighborhood.
Lots of lawn signs.
A lot of people who care a lot about politics.
Oh, well, that's you to a T.
Sort of. Well, and I'm on the board of our neighborhood association, and then a couple weeks ago, I was just voted the president. So.
Oh, congratulations.
Ooh, please, wow. Not to brag
or
anything.
That's big news.
We're the second oldest neighborhood association in Sacramento.
What?
Just as a fun fact.
White woman got to take over everything.
But what's interesting in my neighborhood, all the gays are starting to buy Woodlake, and so... It's interesting to hear very liberal people feel the need to talk about how accepting they are. Like, I get it, but you're a 6-year-old man. You don't need to come to tell me of how your cousin was gay in the 70s and you thought that was okay. Like, I appreciate it.
He's been accepting of you people for quite some time.
Welcome to my world.
Like, thanks. But literally, on my street, 3 gays have bought.
Oh.
So that's kind of fun.
Are you an Adam Trailblazers in that respect?
Not really. There's always been old school gays there. Terry Slidey from Who Owns Faces lives in our neighborhood.
This is how you will know whether gay is really the new black is if the white people start moving out.
No.
If they don't start moving out, then gay is not the new black.
They have not moved out. But our neighborhood's interesting because, like, for people that live in Sacramento, Woodlake's in a really interesting area.
Oh, Chris and I, when we were looking to buy a home, we were looking in Woodlake. We looked in Woodlake.
Yeah. But there were too many gays.
Yeah, well, we were like, there's a lot of gays here.
It's funny because it's just very funny. People never know where it is. And so sometimes people assume I live in Woodland. I'm like, nope, that's not correct. Or they come to my house and like, oh, this is a really cute neighborhood. I'm like, mm-hmm. Or they say, oh, wow, I don't know where you live, and it's so centrally located.
It is.
You're right by the light rail. I mean, if I was that close by the light rail, like, I would probably take it all the way up to Folsom where I work.
It's pretty handy.
Yeah.
We also, everyone in our neighborhood, like, we have a pool. Everyone in our neighborhood has a pool, but we have a community pool, which I feel pressure to join. It's cheap because it's like community. It's like,
sure.
It's been around since forever. And most of the people who live there literally have, like, lived there. They grow up. They go someplace else for a few years and they come back and they buy in our neighborhood.
Hmm.
So, like, everyone in our neighborhood is from there. It's very
inbred?
Small towny in that sense.
Very inbred-y. So here's the question that we had, and we were debating this, because you pointed out your new hyphenated name.
It's Glover Mead.
Glover Mead. We were having a discussion when gay people get married and they decide to hyphenate, what goes into the decision about whose name goes first? Is it alphabetical? Is there some sort of weird hierarchy, or is it just catch as catch can?
Oh, it's who's the top and bottom.
Oh, okay.
No. I feel like you guys are like, really?
That would be better. That would be, it's the funny answer.
On behalf of all my people, I can provide 100% correct answer for everybody. We went with what sounds the best.
Oh, okay.
Because Glover Mead sounds way better than Mead Glover. Mead Glover's awkward to say. And I also wanted to move up in the alphabet count, you know, and things alphabetically. Yeah. So I'm a little competitive. So I like that now I'm under G's, which is really hard because when I go to events, they're like last name, I'm like, I always go to M by instinct. And it literally has taken me a couple times. And I'm like, oh, that's not my name anymore.
And how long have you been married again? It's a couple years.
A year and a half.
Yeah, that's right.
Ooh. Old.
We're going
old.
Strong.
Old and married.
Nice. Nice.
Old and married.
Was it everything you expected and hoped it to be?
Yeah, it is really awesome.
Great.
It's pretty fun.
trips to the Home Depot.
Trips to the Home Depot. It really works well because like Adam does all the tasks and I don't really do tasks. So he's like our pool manager.
Okay.
He does laundry.
Does he work from home?
He used to 100%. Now he works not as much from home anymore. He actually has an office to go into.
Oh, nice.
And his company, I think this is interesting. So Adam's always worked in tech, and he's always worked for small startups. Like, he worked for TiVo before anyone knew what it was and all that kind of stuff. He now worked for a company that is a software company that did the reverse. They were public and went private.
Okay.
And it's owned by this company that pretty much bought them because they just want to hold on to them for a while. But what's interesting is because of that, all of his benefits are changing. He has a pension for the first time. Like, people in tech don't have pensions.
Right.
So it's funny for him to hear about all these things. He's like, oh, wow, this is kind of interesting. It's like a family-owned company, so they provide really great benefits. Like, his insurance is almost nothing. And
nice.
It's interesting for him to go from, most people do the opposite.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, that's awesome.
That's fun.
That's awesome. Good to catch up on all of that.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of catching up, Seth Rogen has traveled back in time to 2008 to talk about the feud that he had with his knocked up co-star Katherine Heigl after she slammed their comedy. Back in the infamous 2008 Vanity Fair interview, Heigl said she didn't like how she was portrayed because the pregnancy comedy, quote, paints women as shrews. No, you were a shrew. While men look lovable, she added, it's hard for me to love the movie. The comments upset Rogen and writer-director Judd Apatow, who both hit back at her in interviews shortly after. Rogen, who's 34 now, was on Howard Stern's SiriusXM show last week and said that years ago he was surprised by her reaction because they got along so well on set, saying, as we were making the movie, honestly, I was like, I would make a dozen movies with her. I would be whatever the SE version of Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan is. So I thought we had a great dynamic. People seemed to like it. We were funny together and we were having a really good time. And when I heard afterwards she didn't like it, that she seemed to not like the process and she didn't like the end product either. I think when that happens, also your trust feels somewhat betrayed. We have a very open process and we're like, you have the ability to say anything at any moment. I don't like this scene. I don't like how it's coming across here. So I don't know. She was on Grey's Anatomy when that happened, and it was like, and she got a couple of other movies too, but they kind of did the same thing. So I'm guessing she comes across as a shrew in the movie, and she had a bunch of other failed movies because she's a terrible person.
Well, she was it the other movie, the movie with they play it all the time on like Lifetime or.
Gerard Butler.
Yeah, she was the same person in that movie.
Right, because she's not a good actress.
Right.
There's that. But she could have done movies with Seth Rogen and Judd Apatow for 15 years and been a movie star.
Yeah.
Now, Nate, I'm a little surprised you're so hard on her because she did play a role in a movie, which I don't remember. But she was in TV, and it was based in Sacramento.
Yeah, that was the Gerard Butler.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, that, there was nothing realistic about that movie.
I've never seen it.
What movie is this?
I forget the name of it.
Yeah. All of her movies are the same.
Yeah. Yeah. She plays somebody that you think might be attractive, but then really grow to detest.
She is, yeah, she's that girl. You know, she's attractive, but when you get to know her, you're like, ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
I think I've spent more time thinking about Catherine Hagel in the past 3 minutes than I have in the past 10 years.
Yeah.
That was one of my celebrity sightings when I went to L.A.
I thought you were going to say celebrity crushes, and I was going to judge you a little.
No. we were waiting in line to see ASCAT at UCB, and she was having – there's a restaurant right next to ASCAT that you line up – next to UCB that you line up at, and she was out on the patio having dinner with I'm blanking on his name. He was the gay fellow on Grey's Anatomy that there was a big kerfuffle with.
Yes.
You know who I'm talking
about.
He's
also done nothing.
Right. He's done nothing. It was her mom and him.
Yeah.
And they were just eating out on the patio. So that was my big celebrity sighting in LA. I've had two. I've had that and Seal almost plowed over my ex at the Grove. I'm like, Seal. Oh, that's the guy who almost ran over you is Seal. That's great. He's very tall and pocked.
He looks more pocked in person than he does in pictures. Mm-hmm. It's almost frightening.
Did he ask her if she wanted a kiss from a rose? When you like almost hit her? Did you just like what? You want a kiss from a rose?
He just ignored it and moved forward because Seal's too good for everybody.
I'm pretty sure he lives off of support from his ex-wife.
Probably.
She pays him alimony.
He seems like a dick.
I did hear my parents were at a fundraiser, and you can buy, this is like a, I guess it's been a thing, but you can buy for people to leave her voicemail message.
Yes.
No one bid on his, and it was $100.
Good.
Like, that's going to be sad when you know, like, yeah, I'll donate this, and you're expecting like $1,000. Like,
he calls back next week.
He's hey, like, who do I have to record for?
This is Seal. Does anybody have to call about this leaving a message?
Nope.
I like really? Seal.
Oh, you're the one.
Yes.
Is it because he's black?
No, he's because he can sing.
Hey, he can sing.
What would you call him if he's not African American?
No, he's black.
Would you call him European African?
No, he just asked if I liked him because
I know, but I was just curious if you are a black European.
He's still black.
I don't see color.
Again, do not meet me at a stoplight.
Oh, all right. So
I'm going to have Kiss from a Rose stuck in my head now.
Thanks, Jason.
And I'm pretty sure he's still getting money from his music, so.
Oh, yeah. He had a few things.
Kiss from a Rose still has royalties?
Yes. Everything has royalties.
Especially that song. It's played all the time because, you know, it's, you know.
All the time where?
Like.
At Rose stores? At the Rose Parade?
On a terrible XM satellite station that no one wants to listen to?
Exactly. And then there's adult contemporary stations that play, like, 90s music.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's top free because they exist now.
Do you know how I realized I'm old? Do you know what Sirius has now as a station that I listen to?
90s?
Dance oldies.
Dance oldies!
So, EDM oldies.
Oh.
It's really, like, I love them all, and I'm like, excuse me. I'm like, goodness. This song is from like 1995. And it literally, they try to make it sound like they're like the dance anthems of the 90s and 2000. I'm like,
it's like
dance oldies.
Dance oldies. All right, let's go to something a little more current. Ellen DeGeneres is being called a racist now because of a tweet about Usain Bolt. He's the fastest man alive. He's brought the internet a large amount of joy since he burst onto the scene a few years ago. Anyway, the latest internet-related Bolt story isn't warm and fuzzy, nor does it involve him getting toppled by a Segway. There was a tweet from Ellen DeGeneres. Let me throw it up here on the TV for you guys so you can see it, where basically they like to say, oh, Ellen photoshopped herself. Ellen didn't photoshop anything. She called the lackey and said, hey, photoshop me on Usain Bolt as he's pulling away from the pack at the Olympics. That's really what happened with this. And so there you go. You guys can see it on the monitor here.
Yes.
There it is, Ellen on it's a mediocre Photoshop job. And she's tweeted, this is how I'm running errands from now on. And she's getting a piggyback ride from Usain Bolt as he's running on the track. And then the angry tweets came back. tweeting things like, seriously, WTF? And honestly, this is offensive. That's from at Jazz Dazzler.
Jazz Dazzler offends me as a jazz dancer.
At MIQL tweeted, so riding on his back like a mule, a horse, as some sort of property is fun for you? Okay. And then fights started breaking out. Somebody tweeted back to them saying, hey, I think you missed the point of the picture. And then MIQL, who has no sense of humor, if I ignored U.S. history and current climate of police lynching us, this joke would be hilarious. Very angry. Then people started sticking their nose in instead of just letting it go. Some poor white girl tweeted, you guys are being mad petty over something so damn simple. Ellen is a nice and generous person. She isn't being racist. Which then prompted at Burina Duh to tweet, you guys, LOL, never said I was offended. I was letting you know your comment on being black was irrelevant. So then it just devolves into stuff.
They had nothing better to do.
Right. Well, here's the thing. Usain Bolt has retweeted the photo. So clearly he wasn't upset by it.
That was funny.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't.
It wasn't like she said, I'm going to ride this black boy around town.
Right.
Like
I'm going to ride this stallion around town. No. I mean,
I'm dreaming of his BBC all night. Like, it's not. Yeah.
He's the fastest. He's the fastest man on earth. Like, for how many Olympics in a row?
Yeah.
Like, this is like, I'm offended that she didn't use Mike Phelps because, you know, he is white. You know what I mean? So she should have used
that's
him.
The racism that's the racist we should be talking about.
Well, what sort of errands would she need to have a swimmer for,
that's,
Jason?
That's exactly what I'm saying. That's
she's
point.
Rich.
That's
she has homes and islands.
That's true. She sort of tweeted a half apology. She said, I'm highly aware of racism that exists in our country. It's the furthest thing from who I am. So, but people aren't over it yet.
Of course they're not. But of course, Twitter gives people had nothing a platform else to be stupid.
Yeah.
I think if the news reports on Twitter, they should also report what the crazy man is yelling on the corner, because both are just as relevant.
They are basically. Are you mean talking about Donald Trump now?
More or less.
I mean, if I had looked at that, I would have just started laughing and be like, okay, and kept it moving. I wouldn't have thought.
Yeah, it wouldn't even have bumped you for a second. But no. So good.
It's so the thing that's really annoying about this is people waste time and energy talking about racism about that instead of things we really should be talking about, like, I don't know, educational systems or prison systems or things that are legitimately inherently racist that we should maybe talk and deconstruct a little bit. But instead, people get angry about a stupid photo.
Yeah.
Makes me tired.
Me too.
That's easy, right?
You know what made me really tired is some of the comedians I know putting it on Facebook and then the comment thread back and forth. I'm like, are you guys serious right now? Couldn't you be writing better material? Because I know your last open mic wasn't that good.
Exactly.
I'm not singling anybody out, but you can do better than that.
I can't wait to see what people do now from that photo, because you know Ellen's going to be writing like Bill Cosby soon and every other person you can imagine.
I would think a dolphin.
Yeah.
Or nature's rapists.
Or Michael Phelps. Yeah.
It's true.
She's got very big arms.
That's true. I'm going to be looking for her on the back of a American beach volleyball player. Lady. So Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher have babies, and she says that they are not going to have entitled children, saying, quote, mommy and daddy may have a dollar, but you're poor. So they said one topic of conversation we had even prior to having kids was always, how do you raise a child not to be an a-hole? That's what she was on the Kyle and Jackie O show in Australia. So it's so important because we both came from pretty solid poverty backgrounds and grew up very poor.
Okay, I'm going to let that pass.
And are very much self-made and are very aware of what a dollar is worth. She added, nothing's been handed to us. She admits that it will be difficult to show 22-month-old daughter Wyatt Isabel and her new baby on the way just how much to appreciate what they have, since they will never have ketchup soup for dinner, but they're going to do their very best. So it's a matter of teaching them from a very early age that mommy and daddy may have a dollar, but you're poor. You are very poor. You have nothing. Mommy and daddy have a bank account. I believe it was Bill Cosby who used that act.
Bill Cosby.
For most of the 80s.
Yeah.
Of course, he was handing out Quaaludes.
Remember the episode where he made Theo pay rent?
Yep. Oh, Theo wanted to move out.
One of the
out.
Best episodes in TV history.
Theo wanted to move out, and he said, all right, I'm going to start charging you rent.
Exactly.
Too bad Theo starts hitting date rape bills on his side.
Oh, man.
Someone needs to make all the Cosby shows redone with people selling drugs to Bill Cosby.
Yeah, they should intercut a scene where like they just put
as a black man, I'm going to say F you.
I'll accept that. Do you know what the sign of ultimate privilege is?
What's that?
Choosing to raise your kids poor instead of it just being your reality.
That is a very, very good point.
Get ready for some judging. It's time for Cool or Tool.
All right. You remember how to do this, Larry. First up in Cool or Tool, Katherine Heigl, Jason.
Oh, God. I'm going to have to say she's a big tool. She's a tool.
Kareem.
Tool.
Larry.
Leading the tool parade.
She is the crescent wrench of the toolbox.
Oh, most often used.
Yep. A tool for any occasion, Katherine Heigl.
She can go away.
Up next in Cooler Tool, the internet. The internet, Kareem.
Overall, it is cool. The people that use it are a bit too.
Larry.
Can I steal that?
Yeah, of course.
Ditto what Kareem said.
Jason.
I'm going to make this a three-way and say ditto on that.
The internet is cool because without it, you would not be listening to this show right now.
Right.
Could we make it on tape and send it out to people?
And that would be it would raise the overhead on the show a lot. People would have to buy even more stuff through the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com, but it wouldn't exist because there'd be no internet.
If you'd like a copy of the show, please send a tape and a self-addressed envelope.
Send a self-addressed stamped envelope. And $10.99.
I bet kids don't even know what that means.
No, not a clue. Not a clue.
That should be the name of an improv group.
Mm-hmm.
Self-addressed stamped envelope.
Yes.
It's a long one. And finally,
S-A-S-E.
Finally in Cooler Tool, Tough Love. Larry?
What kind of tough love are we talking about?
And whatever strokes your fancy.
I think it's cool as long as there's a safe word.
Mm-hmm. Jason.
I'd have to agree with Larry. Cool if you have a safe word. It's...
Kareem.
I think it's even cooler without a safe word.
Oh.
If you have to talk about tough love, then you're probably not doing it hard enough. That's all I'm going to say. But,
oh
but good for her for encouraging people not to raise a-hole kids.
Yes.
We will all appreciate that in the future. We'll see how it works out for them. I don't think anybody starts out going, you know what? I'm going to raise the biggest a-holes the world has ever seen.
I've been thinking about it.
I think there might be a couple in El Dorado Hills saying that exact thing right now.
Good God, I can see the African Americans from here. I used to call them Negroes, but I'm progressive now.
Racism.
It's true. All right, that's going to do it for Cool or Tool. Thanks for playing, everybody. Play along at home next time if you like.
Yeah.
You can weigh in. All right. Speaking of things that you can do by yourself, Larry Wilmore can host the nightly show in his living room by himself because the home version of the show will be all that's left. He's been canceled. Tomorrow night is the final nightly show on Comedy Central. It premiered in January of 2015, and it filled the slot vacated by Stephen Colbert when he jumped to CBS. They look to explore current events and larger life issues. It was presided over by Wilmore, who had previously served as the senior black correspondent on The Daily Show, but audience acceptance of The Nightly Show never approached The Daily Show lead-in, neither during the regime of Jon Stewart or The Trevor Noah Daily Show, which very few people I know watch. Comedy Central president Ken Alterman praised Wilmore and his team for crafting a platform for unprecedented voices. He said the show had steadily improved, but unfortunately, it hasn't resonated with the audience in a way that it would need to for us to continue. While this year's second quarter found The Daily Show beaten only by NBC's Tonight Show and adults 18 to 34, The Nightly Show retained little more than half of that audience, so that's not good. The 54-year-old Wilmore wrote for In Living Color, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. He created The Bernie Mac Show, and with Eddie Murphy, co-created the animated series The PJs. He is the creator of the upcoming HBO comedy Insecure, starring Issa Rae, which is going to premiere in October. Did I pronounce that right? Is it Issa or is it Issa?
Issa.
Okay. I thought I got that wrong. 2 years ago, he was set to be the executive producer of the ABC sitcom Black-ish before opting instead to host The Nightly Show. So, good luck to him. Talented guy. Very funny. I don't know. Did you guys watch The Nightly Show at all?
I tried. I think it's commendable because, like, I think it's great Comedy Central stuck with him because his ratings were abysmal.
Mm-hmm.
And they really did try to give him a chance. What I found interesting is that even people that really liked the show never watched it because the ratings were so bad.
Mm-hmm.
So it just is. It was hard to watch. And when I feel like a show becomes like, I feel like I should watch this, it's not a good sign.
When it's a chore to watch. Jason, did you watch it out of white guilt?
That's funny. No, I did not. No.
I like the one girl that was on it a lot. Chelsea. She was funny.
I want to say this because I didn't like the show. It's also it came at a time in my life where I didn't have cable. Mm. And I had basic cable, but I did not have Comedy Central. So right. I may have watched it, but, you know.
Now he's making excuses.
Well, and Stephen Colbert's show sucks now, too.
Yes.
Maybe they're just all cursed.
Kareem, what are your thoughts on The Nightly Show?
My thoughts on The Nightly Show is that it should have been a bit of a different format. And I don't know what that format would have been. Because
like vaudeville?
No, even the...
On Tuesday, Canadian model Gigi Gorgeous was detained.
Oh, hold on. What's going on?
What is this, the Oscars? You trying to play me off?
I know. I was like, you better say thank you to Jesus and walk off the stage.
I'm like, well, how does this... What happened? No, go on. Format of the show. I was listening.
Yeah, I don't... I think that might have been it in... Because the commentary and the writing was still excellent, it's just I think it was more of the format, and I don't think Comedy Central is a place for a black show.
I think you may be right on that. I think I watched the show when it started, and for me one of the reasons I stopped watching the show was. Because they had this panel of guests, and it was a fairly large panel of guests.
Yeah.
And I thought the first part of the show was really great. I loved him at the beginning. They would go to the panel of guests, and they started to have a real problem getting guests.
Yeah.
And you were seeing, oh, here's what's his name again. He's a writer on our show. And I'm like, if all you're in New York City, if you can't find a comedian I haven't heard of, you have to go to your own writer's room to fill that seat. Two nights out of four.
Just call Katherine Heigl. She's not doing anything.
It's true. 32:29. That's two edits.
Oh, did I curse it?
Yeah.
I don't really think of myself as a cursor.
I know. Well, it happens. You're used to you're just used to the uncensored show. We'll have that one on Monday, the third show we record tonight.
Yeah.
So that'll be coming.
I apologize for my foul mouth.
That's okay. We'll no one at home will hear that. We'll fix those up.
Yeah.
Make it PG-13. So I hope I'm really looking forward to see what he does next because he's clearly a very talented dude, very, very funny. And nobody on The Daily Show is as funny as he is now.
Yeah. But I don't think Comedy Central is a network for I don't think they have enough of a black audience to carry a black show up there. Because Key and Peele, it doesn't really go to a black audience. It goes to...
It's more of a wide appeal audience.
More of a wide appeal audience. And
I think it's because white people feel cool watching Key and Peele. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. I watch some cool
They're
shows.
Not threatening because they're mixed.
Right. And, you know, they're not doing anything serious. But as far as listening into black people who actually really have opinions... Yeah, white people aren't doing that.
It was probably like Dave Chappelle was probably the last like black comedian that they really had on there Dave like Chappelle. That, right?
Yeah,
and even Dave that Chappelle, crossed that line. Even he Dave Chappelle crazy. was doing comedy. He wasn't doing that much, so his social commentary was really buried in other stuff. Yeah. It wasn't right out there in front in your face,
right?
Yeah.
So that's why that was something that people would watch because it was the second third layer of what was going on. And there's an art form to that. And if you put it right in people's faces, sometimes people are like, I'm uncomfortable. I don't want to see it. And I'm going to go and.
Because David Alan Greer tried to do, they called it a chocolate news.
Yes.
Yeah.
That didn't last that long.
Was that funny? Because I didn't think it was. So you tell me your opinion.
I think he tried to do too much.
Yeah.
And then, so the only So W. Kamau Bell's show, which was on FX.
Mm-hmm. And then FXX.
Yeah, so that show actually did well, but FX moved it to FXX and nobody knew where it
was. Yeah, that was the most stupid. That was so stupid of them.
They actually jacked that show up. And, yeah. But his show had like a broad, like the rest of the races included. So it wasn't as much in your face.
Right. It was more of a conversation.
More of a conversation.
As opposed to, here's where we stand on stuff. And it was a lot of him asking questions of people, like posing questions and situations. And I think that really worked. You're right. I think they screwed the pooch on that.
And he did do, he had a really wide range of guests.
Yes.
So at that point he was the it person. So, he had the people in the MSNBC. He had like big time people on his show as opposed to the people that Larry's been able to get.
And now, unfortunately, he's on CNN and no one will see him.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Let's. It's true. It's true. Now it's time for this.
The Nate Darling Show takes it to a simpler place. It's time for small town news.
They don't do these very often anymore. Apparently, the people in Plattsburgh, New York are feeling very happy with their lives because it's only about once a month that we get speak out from the Press Republican.
Oh, yes. Yay.
Only two letters this time, though.
No. Oh, my gosh.
Swear to you.
Oh, it's taking a dive, man. You know what? They must have had... sorry.
All right.
It's
well, fine. Here's... This one's entitled Bridge. Since the Chateauguay Bridge has been closed for construction, the route to the IGA store, Alex's, the dollar store, veterinary clinic, and medical clinics near there has been a real nightmare. The goat path... The Pulp Mill Road is narrow and broken up blacktop. With 18-wheelers using it, it makes it very dangerous and hazardous to live on and use that road to go to these stores and businesses. I suppose that's legitimate.
It sounds legitimate.
Of course, fixing the bridge so it doesn't fall in and kill people is also legitimate.
Just
saying.
It's the way it is.
And finally, have you noticed that kids are so dirty nowadays? I would have thought it to be the opposite, as they all have their faces in front of screens whenever I see them. They won't do anything without a cell phone, tablet, or computer nearby. Maybe once the iPod becomes waterproof, they will finally take a bath. I said iPad. It's actually iPod.
Yeah.
Which they don't make anymore.
Yeah. That was pretty funny when I read that earlier. Only two? Did they have like a big, like, did a bunch of people die? Like, the only population left?
There's a volcano in Plattsburgh.
Here's the theory, Jason. It's summertime.
Yeah.
And the living is easy.
Oh, yeah.
When the first snowflake falls, the complaints will start coming about the sidewalk being clear.
Can't wait.
And parking. Oh, and you know what's coming, Jason? The
students. I was going to say all the students.
The students are coming back to Plattsburgh State soon. So I'm looking forward.
College!
Looking forward.
Can't wait. I'm so excited.
I'm going to be so wasted all fall semester.
It's all going to happen.
I miss college.
Don't we all? All right, that's going to do it for Small Town News, and that's going to do it for this episode of The Nate Darling Show. Thanks, everybody, for downloading and giving it a listen. Thanks, Larry, for coming and hanging out with us.
It was wonderful.
It was. Yeah. No kiss from a rose. We are going to go out on some Seal, though.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, Cream's number one fan.
Yeah.
It's a good song.
This was the first time most of us heard Seal. This song is called Crazy. We'll see you next time on The Nate Darling Show. We'll see you Friday with a fresh new episode. Breaking walls.
Thanks for listening, and remember to use the Shop Amazon tab at natedarlingshow.com.